The following is another dynamic message by Benny Hamm. This exciting teaching can change your life. Now, here's Pastor Benny.
Father, I pray, bless your people. Feed them manna from heaven. In the name of Jesus. And God's people said, Amen. Matthew chapter 19, please, I want you all to read out loud and clear. Matthew 19, verse 26. And then Mark chapter 9, verse 23. We're going to read again both portions together out loud. First, of course, Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. The word of the Lord declares, but Jesus beheld them. Read with me. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Say with me, with God all things are possible. Say it again, please. With God all things are possible. Now, in Mark chapter 9 and verse 23, the scripture declares, and I again want you to read this loud and clear with me, Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Say with me, all things are possible to him that believes. Now, precious people, all of us, I believe, can accept the fact that everything is possible with God. Every Christian believes that. Every Christian accepts that. The Bible tells us equally, all things are possible to him that believes. Now think about that for a minute. Through faith, the things that are possible with God are made possible with men. All things are possible with God. We know that. We accept that. But the scripture says, all things are possible to him who believes. Here we find, through faith, the things possible to God are made possible to men. Faith, then, is the channel that makes God's possibilities available to us. Faith is the vehicle. Faith is the channel that enables God's possibilities to become ours. Now, you must receive this in your heart, in your spirit. All things are possible. Say it again. Say it again. Our minds often cannot comprehend that. We even limit God at times because of our inability to comprehend that. All things are possible. I've been to hospitals where doctors have said to a patient, impossible. Everything that they could look at, everything they understood, everything they knew said impossible. The cancer has gone too far. The problem has gone too far. The sickness has eaten up too much of your body and so forth. Impossible. I've had to remind myself repeatedly, all things are possible. All things are possible. And I can easily accept all things are possible with God, even though sometimes we don't expect to see it. But the most difficult is, all things are possible to him that believes. Say that, will you? Now, let's begin to understand something about faith. Tonight, I'm going to help you understand something that maybe you haven't. What is the difference between the gift of faith, the fruit of faith, and the measure of faith? And I want you to understand that we have misunderstood the word believe. The word believe is too weak to explain faith. Write this down, will you? The Greek word for faith is P-I-S-T-I-S, pistis. And the word believe is pisteo, P-I-S-T-E-U-O, pisteo. Same word, same family of words. Pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, pisteo, P-I-S-T-E-U-O. Oh, pisteo. Now, the word believe would really be better translated faithing. But there's no such word in English. So rather than me saying I believe, I should say I'm faithing. Faith, faithing. But there's no word in English as faithing. So we say believe. And we understand that word to mean something mental, mental acceptance. The Bible doesn't teach that at all. So the word believe in the Greek means I'm faithing. I am walking in my faith. My faith is acting. It's made up of the same four letters, P-I-S-T. So as the Bible, as far as the scriptures are concerned, believing is the exercising of faith. Believing is the releasing of faith. I got to explain faith to you before I explain the three revelations in it. It's impossible to understand the three revelations unless you first understand what is faith. Now, if you look at the Greek, I do not believe. We in English say unbelief. Oh, the Greek word, amazingly, is apistia, apistia, A-P-I-S-T-I-A. And it doesn't really mean unbelief. It means to unfaith. That's where we get the word unfaithful from. We translated, or the English words, is unbelief, but there's no such thing in English as unfaith. There's unfaithfulness, but not unfaith. Therefore, unfaith is the dismantling of faith. So when someone says unbelief, what the Bible really says is the dismantling, the canceling of faith. We cancel our faith when we do not have faith. And I've got to be careful here because we have become so accustomed to saying I believe, I believe, I believe, and we all, and most time, think mental, 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 mental. The Bible doesn't teach that. The word believe is much stronger than that. The Greek doesn't say believe. The Greek says faithing. I am faithing. My faith is acting. And even the word faithing is not proper English. Or unfaithing. I'm not releasing my faith. I'm canceling it. But the Greek, the pure translation is faithing, unfaithing, which the English doesn't have, of course. But we use the word believe and unbelieve instead. To most of us, it's all mental, while it isn't. Now, you got to listen very carefully. Turn to Hebrews 11. Let's look at verse 1, and let's read together this amazing portion of Scripture, because I want to show you what true faith is. What is true faith? What is really faith when we talk about faith? What is it? There's two things the Scripture clearly state about faith. And I want you all to read for me Hebrews 11:1, very familiar portion, very known portion of Scripture. But I want to point two things out in that one verse that will help you understand what faith really is. Hebrews 11:1. If you're there, say yes. All right? I want you to read for me loud and clear. One, two, three, go. Now, we all know that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Number one, faith is substance. Just write that down. Faith is substance. Now, in this portion of God's precious word, we find that faith is called substance. The Greek word gives the idea of a substance holding faith from underneath it. It would be like if you carry a baby. You carry it. Your arms are underneath the baby. The substance is that invisible power that carries it. Faith is substance. Faith carries you. Number two, faith is evidence. So what is faith? True faith, biblical faith. Biblical faith is substance. Biblical faith is evidence. One translation says, the conviction of things not seen. And the word evidence also means conviction. So what is faith? Faith is substance. Faith is conviction, also known as evidence. Conviction of things not seen, the evidence of things not seen. So faith takes us from the visible to the invisible. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. If we walk by sight, we do not need faith. If we walk by faith, we do not need sight. Before you were saved, you walked by sight. Everything had to be seen before believed. The minute you begin to live in the kingdom of God and you begin to move in the realm of the Spirit, you walk by faith, and then the seen follows. You will see after faith enters your life. So, if we walk by sight, we don't need faith. But if we walk by faith, we don't need sight. So, 2 Corinthians 5:7, write that down, please. We walk, we live. This Christian walk is a walk of faith. The minute you were born again, you began to walk by faith. If you're not saved, you're walking by sight. Any person truly born again is walking by faith. The world now, the unbelieving world, will say, well, I see, then I believe. But the believer says, no, I believe, and then I see. That's why the psalmist in Psalm 27, 13, Psalm 27, 13, said these powerful words. And I want you, precious people, to write these scriptures down, because I want every one of you to receive this, the fullness of this teaching, and I'm only really preparing your hearts now. I haven't even begun really to teach. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. Psalm 27:13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see. Watch that seeing comes after believing in the Bible. You believe, then you see. In John 11:40, in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 40, Jesus said, if you will believe, you will see the glory of God. If you want to see God's glory, you must believe. And again, the word believe is what I just gave you earlier. Faithing. When you are acting your faith, that will produce vision. You will then see. Now, God's word commands us. God's word challenges us not to look at the visible. We will be defeated if we look at the visible world. God's word challenges, God's word commands that you and I should look at the invisible, not the visible. In fact, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Jim, I'd like you to read for us verse 17 and verse 18. Of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want you all to pay attention to what Jim is going to read for you, because this is the word of God I'm giving you.
For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal.
Yes.
But the things which are not seen are eternal.
Now notice what the scripture says. That God allows trials. God allows tribulations. Because trials and tribulations enable the believer to see the invisible. If you do not experience trials and tribulations, you'll never look to heaven. Read that again, please, Jim.
For our light affliction,
our trials, called light afflictions,
which is but for a moment,
for this life only,
worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
What is that far more exceeding weight of glory? That weight of glory people dismiss like, say, let me see now, I wonder what that means. No, he explains what it means on the following words.
While we look not at the things which are seen.
So what happens, Jim, is what trials do is they enable us, they work for us, they bring us into the glory of God. While we're going through trials, we quit looking at the natural, because we see that the natural isn't helping us. We are forced to look to the spiritual. And when we look to the spiritual, read on if you will.
For the things that are seen are temporal.
Yeah, because if we look to the natural, we are bound to earthly things. We are bound to the natural laws. But now, as we look to the invisible, just finish reading that portion, please.
But the things which are not seen are eternal.
Yeah. Now we are connected to eternity through faith. So faith is the road to eternity. Unbelief is the road to the natural. Unbelief is the road into time. Faith is the road to eternity. Faith is the road to the eternal, the unlimited, the spiritual. Is anybody getting this? So, unbelief, unfaithing, unfaith, which we call unbelief, leads me to a dead end in the natural world. I have nowhere to go. I have nowhere to turn. Troubles come my way and I have nowhere to go. But God sends those troubles that while I'm going through them, I'm forced into another door called faith. And as I look through that door, I connect into the eternal. That's what he means. That is what is meant by a weight of glory. My weight of glory is my faith in God. Because people read this and what is that weight of glory? That weight of glory is that road of faith. It's my faith. It's my contact with heaven. It's what causes me to look up. It's what causes me to enter into that different dimension called faith. Now, faith, write this down. Faith lifts you above the realm of the natural world and makes God's possibilities available to you. Faith lifts you above. They lift you. Faith lifts you above the realm of the natural world, and faith makes God's possibilities available to you. Faith is substance. Faith is evidence. You cannot describe faith unless you experience it. All right, let me ask you a question. Look at me, all of you. Who told you you're saved? How do you know? No, really, come on, just think. How do you know? No, wait. I know. But how do you know? Did an angel tell you? Did you watch a video? Did you read a book? No, wait. A whole lot of people can read the Bible and have no faith at all. I'm asking you a very simple question. How do you know? No, wait. Stop. You say faith, of course, but how do you know that Jesus is alive? I know. But you just know. But how do you know? Now you see, you can keep going with that. My point is simple. It was imparted into your spirit. You didn't pay for that. There was no struggle. You didn't have to convince yourself. You did not have to read all kinds of books to be convinced that God is alive. How do you know that the Bible is God's word? I mean, what proof do we have? People can debate the Bible and they make fools of themselves because they're trying to convince others through knowledge. That doesn't do it. This is written. The written word is dead. Anybody can read this. Universities can teach it and it'll bring life to no one. You can read the Bible till your face turns blue. It'll give you no life. You can tear it apart and put it back together. It'll do you no good. You can go to the greatest universities, learn from the most intelligent professors, and you still don't know God. This Bible is accepted only by faith. Knowledge by itself will do you no good. All it'll do, it'll fill your brain and blow it up at the end. When I read the Bible, I am not looking for knowledge. I'm looking for Jesus. He is the Word. Now, precious people, the Spirit is faith. So when I said to you earlier, how do you know? You said, I know. You know by the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who takes this letter and makes it live. The Holy Ghost is life. He's the life of the Word. He's the source of faith. But I must again ask the question, how do we know? We read this book, our eyes see it, or our ears may hear someone teach it, but something happens while it's being read or taught or preached, or when we read it, there's an impartation that is spiritual, invisible. That is called substance. And so you say, I know. Yes, that is what the Bible means by substance. How many of you know that you know that you know that you know that you know Jesus is alive? That's substance. What is that called? Substance. You call that faith, but faith is substance. That substance is so real to me, I'll die before I deny it. How many of you know that 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 you know you are saved? Put your hands up high. That's conviction. That's evidence. That's what faith is. How many of you know that 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 you know when you die you're going to heaven? That's evidence. Can't shake it out of you. People die for that faith because that faith is stronger than your life. That faith is stronger than your being. It is stronger than the world. It is stronger than anything you know in the physical. It's more precious than our own lives. That faith is substance. That substance is that incredible, deep, eternal knowing that I belong to Jesus and He belongs to me. How many are beginning to understand? Put your hands up high. Faith is evidence. Faith is substance. Say, faith is substance. Faith is evidence. Now, something else about faith. Faith is not mental. No, faith is not mental. You've got to dismiss that. There's no place in the Bible that says faith is mental. So when people say, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, they really mean I mentally accept, I mentally accept. That has nothing to do with faith. In fact, even the devil mentally accepts. Demons mentally accept. It's not faith. Faith is in your heart, not in your mind. With the heart, Romans 10:10, with the heart man believeth. Say with the heart. So the heart is the spirit. It's not your pump that's pumping blood. It's the spirit. So that's what I said. Faith is imparted to the spirit. Faith is imparted to the spirit. Faith is imparted to the whole being by the Holy Spirit. Say after me, faith, the faith of God, penetrates my being. Say it again. It's not in your mind, it's in your being. It's a part of your being. It's every part of you is is bubbling with faith. That's what it means by faith is in the heart. With the heart, man believes. The heart is not my pump. The heart is not an organ. Spiritually, the heart is the person. The real person, the spiritual person. The real man is the heart. So Romans 10:10 says that faith is in the heart. Now, don't dismiss the mind, because faith is in the heart while hope is mental. That's why it says, as a man thinketh, there's hope. Hope is important. Let's not dismiss it. I'll touch on that in a moment, but I want to still focus on faith. True faith is born in the heart. True faith enters the heart. Mental acceptance of truth is not faith. I got to say that again. You missed it. Mental acceptance of truth is not faith. You can read this Bible, it's truth. And all it's doing, it's entering your mind. You even may accept it as truth, and it's still not faith. A man can go to Bible school and says, I believe it. What he's really saying is, I mentally accept its facts, and no change will come to his heart. Say, mental acceptance of truth is not faith. Say it. Say, faith is given by the Holy Spirit. You got it. Faith is not imparted through your hard study and hard work and read and reread and reread and reread and reread and memorize. All that will give you is mental acceptance of truth. It's not faith. I've got to explain what faith is before I can talk about the three revelations of it. Is this helping you?
Yes.
Say, faith is substance. Faith is conviction. That's what the scripture says, by evidence. Now, this faith is in the heart. Now, the scripture says, in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, watch over your heart. Out of it are the issues of life. Protect your heart, because faith is in your heart. Protect the heart. Protect the spirit. Proverbs 4, verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues, the source of life. Faith is in the heart. Faith is the source of life. Faith is always in the present. Faith is substance now, something we have now. Now, let me touch on hope, because I don't want to dismiss that. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8. Please write it down. 1 Thessalonians 5, 8. In fact, Jim, would you mind reading that for me? 1 Thessalonians 5, 8. Here it gives us, it gives us the truth about hope. Mary, when we talk about hope, we talk about expectation. And hope is important. We call that believing, expect. But in fact, what we're really saying, it's true by Bible hope. Bible hope is unshakable expectation. We need that. So the scripture says, Jim, in 1 Thessalonians 5, 8.
But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love.
Watch this. The breastplate of faith is over the heart. Faith is in the heart.
And for an helmet.
And for a helmet of salvation.
The hope of salvation.
The hope of salvation. And that's the helmet. That's the mind. So say after me, faith is substance. Faith is conviction. Hope is unshakable expectation. I see that two separate things all together. Faith is in my heart. Hope is in my mind. Faith is present now. Hope is in the future. It's an expectation of things to come. Hope is unshakable expectation. Now, say after me, faith is the channel that makes God's possibilities mine. Faith, say faith, is my life. That's what the Bible says. It's the source of life. It is the source of your spiritual walk. Without it, your life in God would vanish. From the day you were saved to the present, you live by faith. You walk by faith. You see by faith. You hear by faith. Everything about your life is moved by faith. Now, let me talk about, are you ready now to begin to discuss the three revelations? If you are, say yes. And this is going to help you tremendously tonight, because I want to begin to help you understand, first of all, faith is a gift. Another revelation, faith is a fruit. Another revelation, faith is a measure. And they're totally separate one from the other. Now, lift your hands to heaven and say, Father, help me understand all this. In Jesus' name. Now, write this down, please, and put number one, number two, number three. Number one, faith as a gift. Number two, faith as a fruit. Number three, faith as a measure. Number one, faith as a gift. Two, faith as a fruit. And three, faith as a measure. Let's talk about faith as a gift. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I want Jim to read that for me and for all of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 7 through 11, I want you to notice something. In fact, very important that you notice this. Let's read beginning at verse 7, please.
But the manifestation of the Spirit...
Now, would you stop? The manifestation, it doesn't say manifestations. It's a singular word. The manifestation of the Spirit has 9 revelations. We call them the gifts of the Spirit. Okay, Jim, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit.
With all.
Yeah, so what I'm about to give you is simply one of the gifts that will produce in your life. Go ahead, James.
For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom.
The word of wisdom simply means the application of knowledge.
To another, the word of knowledge.
The word of knowledge, the scripture calls it similitudes. It's where you receive an impression by the Spirit.
To another, faith.
Yeah.
By here, the same Spirit.
Here we are given the first revelation of faith, the gift. Now let's, of course, finish right through verse 11 so we can get the full picture of the gifts here.
To another, the gifts of healing gifts by the same Spirit.
Gifts of healing, plural, because healing is not just one gift, it's more than one gift. And I'm not really teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, but I think it'll be good to just give you a little PS here. Keep going.
To another, the working of miracles.
Working of miracles. Healing and miracles are different. Healing is if diabetes disappears, if cancer disappears, if a heart condition is healed, while a miracle is the creation of an organ or an eardrum or something like that. Keep going, Jim.
To another, prophecy.
Prophecy, of course, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 14, has three results: exhortation, edification, comfort. These three are a part of prophecy. If these three are lacking, it's not true prophecy. Edification means to build you up. Exhortation means to stir you up. Comfort means to lift you up. If those things are not in prophecy, reject it. If somebody comes and says to you, you're going to die, there's no edification, exhortation, or comfort in that. So prophecy is to build you, stir you, lift you. Did you hear that? And it's the only gift that must be judged. Keep going, Jim.
To another, discerning of spirits.
Discerning of spirits is a very, very interesting gift. It's the ability to detect the source of information. It's the ability to detect a spiritual revelation. Is it God, man, or Satan? Peter perceived the Holy Ghost in Cornelius. He had no reason to believe the Holy Ghost was there because he was a Gentile who was outside the covenant. Paul the Apostle perceived an evil spirit in a woman who spoke truth, who said, "These are servants of God who show us the way of salvation." Therefore, truth is no proof it's the right spirit. Is this helping you? Yeah. And Peter the Apostle detected and perceived the spirit of man in Simon the sorcerer. So it's the ability to detect, to perceive the source of a manifestation. Okay, keep going, Jim.
To another, divers kinds of tongues.
There are three kinds of tongues. This is something I got to stop and talk about. Can I please give this to you? There are three kinds of tongues in the scriptures. I wasn't planning on teaching on this, but I might as well give it to you. Three kinds of tongues. Tongue number one, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. Mysteries unto God that no man understands. Because often we mix all three and think three are the same and they're not. Diverse kinds of tongues, three kinds. First, 1 Corinthians 14, 2. Mysteries unto God, we call this our prayer language, that no man understands. That's number one. Tongue number two, Acts chapter 2. They spoke with tongues that were understood. And that tongue, the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians 14, where Paul the Apostle says it is the sign to the unbeliever. Tongues are a sign to the unbeliever. And that's verse 21 and 22. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. That is the tongue seen in Acts chapter 2, when they spoke with tongues and people understood them. Remember that? Now remember, this is the tongue that was understood, Acts 2, but the tongue in 1 Corinthians 14, 2, it says no man understands that one. It's mysteries to God. Then you have the third tongue, the tongue that's only for church use, for public use. And that tongue is equal to prophecy and must be interpreted. 1 Corinthians 14, 26 talks about this tongue that's equal to prophecy, must be interpreted, and that tongue is for public use and public use only. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, has a doctrine, hath a tongue, and there it is for public use, for edification, equal to prophecy. And when Paul said, "I speak in tongues more than you all," he was talking about the first. He was talking about 1 Corinthians 14, 2, mysteries unto God. But then he says, when I'm in public, I would rather speak five words with my understanding than a thousand and thousands of words in tongues. So how many kinds of tongues are there? Can you preach that to somebody now? Good. Diverse kinds of tongues. What else, Jim?
To another, the interpretation of tongues.
Yeah, and that you must pray for it. Keep going.
But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will.
Now, I will come back to New Zealand one day and teach on the gifts, but now let's just stay with faith, all right? Faith first is a gift. Now, precious people, these gifts are called the manifestation, singular, of the Spirit. They are supernatural in character. The gift of faith is a sovereign, supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit. All right, let me talk about this gift of faith. Turn to Mark 11. Mark 11, verse 22. Mark 11, 22. And I want you all to begin to understand it. Mark 11, 22 says what? Jim, please.
And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God.
In fact, the literal translation says, have God's faith. Have the faith of God. Have God's faith. It doesn't really say have faith in God. The translation, the pure Greek says, have the faith of God. Have God's faith. And that, my brother, is the gift of faith. This is not talking about the fruit of faith or the measure of faith. Jesus is talking here about the gift of faith. And the gift of faith is called the faith of God. Jesus was talking about the gift of faith because he just showed them the gift in operation when he cursed the fig tree. And they came back the next morning saying, how can it be? It's withered. And he said, if you'll say to the mountain, be thou removed, have the faith of God. The faith of God is a gift. He wasn't talking about the fruit or the measure. Now, we just had Christmas a few weeks ago. How many had gifts by the Christmas tree a few weeks ago? Wave at me. One time, my wife decided to put the little gifts on the tree, hung them on the tree. The gift of faith is connected to a Christmas tree. It has nothing to do with the life of that tree. It's a gift. The fruit of faith is connected to the tree, but not the gift. God gives us gifts like we give gifts on a Christmas tree. It has nothing to do with that tree whatsoever. It's not connected to its life. It is not its fruit. I can take a gift off a Christmas tree and I can take an apple off a tree. The apple came from the tree. But the Christmas gift did not come from the Christmas tree. The gift of faith is not connected to the tree. It's a gift. It's what? Is this getting through to you? I had to help you understand what the Christmas tree gives you, a gift. But it's not connected to the tree at all. Just hanging on it or underneath it. Now, do you remember when Jesus in Matthew, well, let's just look at it, Jim. Matthew 21, 21, please, if you will.
Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done.
Now, Jim, which faith was he talking about here? The gift of faith. It's actually mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13:2, if I have the gift of faith to move mountains, this is not the fruit of faith. This is not the measure of faith. It's the gift of faith. The Lord used the gift of faith to curse a tree and cause it to wither, and then said to his disciples, you can receive the same gift and talk to the mountain, and it'll obey you. Say it's a gift. Say it's a gift. Say, I cannot grow it or cultivate it or develop it. It's given by God. It's the faith of God. It's God's faith, not mine. That's what Jesus said. Have the faith of God. Have God's faith. And God's faith is the gift of faith. Jesus practiced it and told his disciples they can have it. In fact, in Matthew 21:21, read that again, Jim, if you will, because it implies in that portion it only belongs to believers. Go ahead, Jim.
Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto
you. He said to who?
To them.
The them is disciples. So some have preached that, well, it only belongs to the believer because he said to them. All right, let's go to Mark. Let's turn to the book of Mark. I'm going to show you something else. Mark 11:23.
For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he
now,
saith.
This says it goes beyond the believer. The believer is in Matthew 20:21. He was speaking to them. Now he says, whosoever. Therefore, it is possible to have the gift of faith and end up in hell. And Paul in Corinthians never mentions the fruit of faith or the measure of faith. He says, if I have the gift of faith and have not love, I'm nothing. He never mentions the fruit of faith, because the fruit of faith deals with your character and your pure life. That is eternal. The gift of faith is not eternal. The gift of faith is for now, for the earth. I will not, nor will you need the gift of faith in heaven. In heaven, you'll need the fruit and the measure, but not down here. Not the gift, I should say. The gift you need down here. In Luke 8:24, oh, this is fantastic. When the Lord rebuked the wind, what was in operation? The gift of faith. Not the fruit, not the measure. He spoke. It was the gift of faith. Sometimes we read the New Testament and don't realize it was the gift of faith and operation in his life that caused him to curse a fig tree, that caused him to still the storm. Luke 8:24, Jim, please.
And they came unto him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and it ceased.
Keep going, Jim.
And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith?
He was asking, where is your gift of faith? You can do the same thing. Where is your gift of faith? The gift of faith was an operation in his life continually. In fact, this may clear up something for you. Turn to Matthew 17, verse 18 through 21. This was an amazing revelation to me. It was the gift of faith that brought deliverance to a little boy who was possessed with a devil. Matthew 17, the word of God declares, verse 14, when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. He's a lunatic, sore vexed. Oftentimes he falls into the fire, oftentimes into the water. I brought him to thy disciples and they could not cure him. Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. The child was cured from that very hour. Now watch this. When the disciples asked him later, why could we not cast him out? Jesus in verse 20 says, because of your unbelief. And that in the Greek means because of your unfaith. What kind of faith did they lack? The gift. The gift. It was the gift of faith that delivered the demoniac boy. That boy bound with a demon spirit. And now Jesus said something very amazing. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And this has been preached as though certain demons come out only with fasting. That's not what Jesus is talking about, because he cast the demon out and he wasn't fasting. He wasn't talking about fasting. He was talking that prayer and fasting release the gift of faith. That's what he meant. Are you learning anything? He just said, where is your faith? Because of your unfaith, because of your unbelief. You don't have the gift of faith. That's why you couldn't cast him out. This kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Meaning, prayer and fasting releases the gift of faith. Now, precious people, I want you to listen to this. The gift of faith is what Jesus was talking about. I'm going to understand. Put your hands way up high. So we see the gift of faith as in operation in his life. It was the gift of faith. Now, when the gift of faith is in operation, man becomes a channel of God's own faith. Say with me, when the gift of faith is an operation, we become a channel of God's own faith. It is God's own faith at work, and this is the faith mentioned in James 5:15. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. Which faith? The gift of faith is what he means. You say, how do you know? Because he connects it to Elijah the prophet who withheld rain for 3.5 years from Israel. It was the gift of faith and operation in his life, not the fruit or the measure. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. What faith? Gift. Say, it's a gift. Now, it was that faith that James talks about in James 5:15. And I have news for you. It was that faith Peter exercised when he walked on the water. It was the gift of faith in operation. When Jesus said, come. In Matthew 14, he came out of the ship, began walking on the water in verse 29 through 31. And then when he saw the wind, he took his eyes off Jesus and the gift of faith died. Now, the gift of faith is connected to the power of God. The fruit of faith is connected to the presence of God. And the measure of faith is connected to the Word of God. The power of God gives me the gift. The presence of God gives me the fruit. And the word of God gives me the measure. Now say after me, the gift of faith comes by the power of God. And God will impart that to you. And Jesus told you how to receive it. Prayer and fasting. Now say after me, the fruit of faith comes by the presence of God. What did Jesus say in John 15? He says, if you abide in me, you'll bear fruit. Not a gift, but fruit. Remember the Christmas tree? Remember the apple tree? Yeah. Now say, the measure of faith comes by the word of God. So when the word comes, when you hear the word, the measure of faith is imparted. Now, I've got to tell you something before I let you go. The gift of faith doesn't grow or decrease. It doesn't increase or decrease. The gift of faith is always there, the same size all the time, produces all the time. The fruit of faith doesn't grow really, because when you receive it, it's fully grown. You don't have to grow it. You simply have to cultivate the tree, your life. We'll talk about that tomorrow morning. But now the measure of faith begins as a seed. And Romans 1:17 says, we grow from faith to faith. It is that faith we read when we're told faith cometh by hearing. It is that faith that grows daily. It is that faith that gives us righteous standing before God. Abraham knew the measure of faith. Abraham knew the fruit of faith. But very little is mentioned about the gift of faith in his life. And yet he was called the father of faith. You see, the gift of faith is involved in the supernatural. Now, we see it in the life of Abraham, but not a whole lot. When he prayed for Abimelech, we see the gift of faith where God healed Abimelech. But his faith was much more than a gift. See, when we talk about the gift, we talk about the operation of faith. The operation of faith is a gift. Comes by God's power. When the anointing is present, the gift is activated. The gift is activated when the anointing falls. The gift of faith in my life is released when the power of God begins to descend. But then there's the fruit of faith. The fruit of faith works by love. When you love Jesus, it's released. And the fruit of faith is that childlike faith. Remember Jesus talked about childlike faith? It's the fruit. Whenever I've spent much time in the presence of Jesus, one thing always happens. I become extremely dependent on him. When Jesus becomes close to you, you totally trust him. I remember at times in the presence of God, and I'll often say to him, please do it for me. There's intimacy. Like a child, you become so totally dependent. And the fruit of faith is described in Psalm 125. They that trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. There's such confidence. Thy habitations are in the holy mountain. They're steady and steadfast. There's no questioning his love. There's no wondering, did he really mean that? It's absolute trust, childlike faith. That's the fruit. It's not the gift, that's the fruit. And then you have the measure of faith. And the measure of faith begins at salvation and develops through the Word of God. Listen to this. The gift is given. The fruit is eaten. The measure comes. Measure by measure by measure by measure by measure. When the gift comes, I get the whole thing. When the fruit comes, I get the whole fruit. When the measure comes, it drips and drips. And another measure, till my bucket gets full. Faith to faith, faith to faith, faith to faith. Romans 1:16 says, faith to faith. 1:17 says, faith to faith, from faith to faith. That is the measure of faith. The measure of faith is developing faith, maturing faith. That faith is so important that Paul says, that which is not of that faith is sin. So you see, you got to separate them. It is that faith that places me in righteous living, in righteous standing with God. It's the faith of Abraham.
This dynamic and life-changing teaching from Pastor Benny is continued on the next CD.